Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is one of my favorite episodes we do each month, and that is the Thai Atlanta special. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. I'm like you. I love working with the Thai folks. They always bring great guests who have a great deal of passion for what they do. So we're going to get a chance a little bit later in the program. We're going to visit with a district director for the University of Georgia SBDC, Miss Lydia Jones. And we're going to fold her into this conversation very quickly. But first, let's catch up with Paul Lopez. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with Thai U, man. You got a lot of stuff going on over there, don't you?
We do. We're excited to be able to say that we're rolling out year two of Thai University. Last year, we ran a very successful program. We involved 8 universities from across Georgia, 12 different teams looking to start businesses that would be headquartered here in the greater Atlanta and surrounding areas. And so we are looking forward to year two and rolling that out with the new academic year kicking off.
Now, can you talk a little bit about how the kids get involved with Thai U and why they should get involved?
Okay. The why is because very often in the university setting, having been a university professor for a long time, you get an academic kind of understanding in a classroom. Mm-hmm. The best way to learn, of course, is to get out and do. And so we offer a mechanism through Thai University's business planning competition to get out and actually start a business, look at getting funding perhaps, et cetera, and get reactions from mentors, coaches, et cetera. But the main reason that we're able to actually get out to many of these students across Georgia is because when we kicked off the program a year ago, we were very fortunate that I had known Lydia Jones when she was the Small Business Development Center director at Kennesaw State University. Now she is the district director there, and we are co-sponsors, so she has got many of the legs on the ground troops that are actually out at these university campuses.
Now, can you talk about so I'm a kid at a university and I have an idea for a business. Now, there's lots of business plan competitions all over there that I can participate in. Why would I do a Thai U instead of one of those kind of speed dating business plan competitions?
Sure. Actually, what we've discovered is that there's some differentiation about our competition. We find that here in Georgia, there are competitions that are within a university. There are competitions that are regional and national, but nothing that really allows people to work across Georgia. Ours is the only one that we're aware of. Mm-hmm. Lydia had a research assistant actually find that out for us last year. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like golf. I don't think you just go and play in one competition at the expense of playing in any competition. Right. So I would say if you're a student wanting to start a business, you'd be best off really looking at as many competitions. In fact, we're hopeful that the winner of our competition might look at other places, because there are clearly some aspects of mentoring and coaching that we think we would offer through charter members that are giving back through the Thai organization, and then with the partnership with SBDC and the ATDC, we think we can offer a lot of expertise, all free of charge, which to a student, that's the magic
right price,
word, right? So far. Anyway, we're thinking about whether we should actually have a small value kind of proposition,
right.
But at this point, it has all been free.
All right, enough with the advanced teaser copy. Let's meet this Lydia. Welcome to the show, Lydia.
Thank you so much.
So you are with SBDC, the letter standing for?
Small Business Development Centers.
All right. So Tell us a little bit about mission, purpose.
Sure, glad to. So what we do is we help Georgia businesses grow, and we help startup entrepreneurs launch their businesses. Since we're part of the University of Georgia's public service and outreach unit, we work to educate business owners and entrepreneurs to help them in their business journeys, and we do it in two ways. One is through consulting services that are free and confidential, and we take those by appointment. And another way is through the development and presentation of actual business training programs. So we help entrepreneurs and business owners get a realistic look, a practical look at what's ahead.
So in my head, I was thinking maybe it was before you ever started a business. But what I think I'm hearing is, you know, Lee and I, as partners in this business, we could arrange to go in and have some counsel. We could sit down and get some advice from
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the majority of the businesses that we assist are existing.
And Stone, if you want to pay for it, that's fine. But all of these services are really paid for by us taxpayers already.
Right. So, I mean, the funds are there. We should be capitalizing on that.
That's correct. Actually, the taxpayers, both federal and on the state level, we receive some funds. So we're delighted to help. And as I say, we do it with an education approach. So we don't come in and make a turnaround of your business for you. We come in and kind of show you the ropes and how to do it so that it's more your doing and something that you buy and want to do.
Now, are the people that are participating, like at your level, are your mentors, or I don't know what you call the people that are helping the small, what do you call the people?
Consultants.
Consultants. Mm-hmm. Are they consultants? Are they government people that are just part of this government entity, or are they business people that you guys work with that have been there, done that, that help the small business person?
Excellent question. We employ people who have at least 3 to 5 years of business experience, and they also have advanced business degrees.
Okay, so then these are people who have been there, done that.
That's right.
And then the reason that they're doing this is that they're at a point of their career that they want to help small business people, is that?
That's exactly right. We have a mission that says that we will educate, and it's something to have that experience and that background. It's something else when you can really tie it to a cause and say, I want to help this business. It's also something else when you have a business owner and an entrepreneur send you a little note that says, Lydia, thank you for helping my business dreams come true.
That's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, that's bigger than salary.
And also, it's the economic impact, because don't small businesses help the economy and the community lot more than some people realize?
That's correct. The majority of the jobs, as we all know, are attributed to new jobs, startup jobs, are attributed to small businesses.
Now, is there something in the because there's a lot of opportunity for a small business that they don't know how to leverage some of these government offerings that are there? Is that part of what you do in your role?
Exactly.
Is to kind of educate them, to let them know that, hey, did you know that maybe you can do business with the government, or you can get help from the government with these resources?
That's right. I've heard so many people say that there isn't a product or service that the government doesn't buy. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me accountable for that, but I've heard that repeated. And that's exactly one of the things that we do. We call it their procurement area. And we work with other entities, but absolutely, we consult on certifications. We help businesses get into that and do it wisely.
Let me ask a question that might be on your listeners' minds. Lydia, how much does your organization work with a small business to help them, for example, get an SBA loan, which may often, really jet-propel their growth, right?
One of the big things that small businesses need is that access to capital. Paul, you're absolutely right. And we spend a lot of our time, not all of it, but a lot of our time, helping them prepare for that, getting them to the right source of capital. If it's a bank loan, we help them with that and prepare for it. We help them with the business plan and the financial projections that most of them really dread. And we help them with the marketing and do some marketing research. We help them get all of that together and get to the banker. And if it's equity that they need, we'll identify that for them as well. If an equity source is more appropriate, whatever the appropriate source is, we help them get to it.
So I want to hear more about this collaboration, this partnership. Paul, how did it come about? And maybe walk us through some of the early dynamics.
Yeah. So first of all, I joined Ty about 18 months ago and very quickly realized that Ty was doing some great work with the current small business population. You would know them as members of the Ty Atlanta organization. And clearly 5 years ago had started very, very good work with the high schoolers to get them enthused about starting a business and going into an entrepreneurial career. What I realized was that we were missing this piece in between, the college kind of outreach program. And so when they asked me what I was interested in doing in terms of being a charter member, we pay to play, by the way. So we actually pay to do this work.
That's important for the listener to understand. It's one of these business associations that make their members pay to volunteer, what, like 40 hours or at least 40 hours?
I wish I could do it only in 40 right. hours. I think I had to do it in a lot more.
Right, but that's one of the rules if you want to be a charter member of the of Thai.
So when I approached the then president and chair of the Thai Atlanta organization in answering what could I do to help, I said, why don't we try a college program? They said, what would you like to do? And I said, maybe we could start a new business plan competition. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what that means kind of deal, but one of the things I realized is that we couldn't do it ourselves. The best way is not necessarily to create it on your own, but really to go buy versus build.
Right.
And I was very fortunate that when I'd been a faculty member at Kennesaw State University's executive MBA program, I had interacted a great deal with Lydia. In fact, her son had come through. He was the principal of Milton High School at the time through our program, so we have an alum that's out of the family. Mm-hmm. So I got back to Lydia and I said, I wonder if there's something in here where we might partner together. And I think because of our past networking, we said, let's try it. We weren't quite sure what it would be like. But I also knew that having these feet on the streets out at the many, many campuses across Georgia, having these existing resources, the consultancy, the web, the seminars, the capability would help us. And so that way the charter members can still offer mentoring and coaching, but so could the many, many consultants and capabilities of SBDC. So we raised some money last year, put together $10,000 in prize money, mostly through charter members like myself and others, just saying this is a great cause.
Right.
And we're about to really expand that for a year or two.
Okay, so when is this competition? What's the calendar for this competition? What are the major phases?
Is it aligned with the school year?
It has to be. I mean, if you run with universities, everything runs by the school year. In fact, you have to run by the school semester. So there are certain things you can do in August that you can't do in January and vice versa. So what we're about to do is we've put together an entire marketing program that Lydia and myself and a few others that make up the program team will launch as soon as everybody's really settled back in classes. So probably in the September timeframe, very quickly, we'll use the many, many universities and contacts, deans, faculty, student clubs, et cetera, and roll it out so that then people can start to self-nominate themselves in the November-December timeframe. And the competition will be primarily in first quarter next year, we'll do a qualifying round, and then second quarter at the ThaiCon event that you folks have been at will be the final round.
And then so so the first semester is where you're kind of just getting the word out and trying to get as many students involved as possible.
And get as many faculty members involved, students involved, deans, et cetera. We found last year, actually, sometimes there are people called like program coordinators at different campuses. The Georgia Tech MBA program coordinator can get it out to her distribution list, and people just show up. It's kind of interesting. Maybe Lydia can add how her people actually connect with the deans and faculty, because that's what they do anyway.
It's surely. We have, as I said, 17 centers across the state of Georgia, and many of those are located in or on a university campus. They know, they usually do collaborations on programs and things of that nature. So they're familiar with the deans and the heads of entrepreneurship schools and others who can refer teams into this. So we're communicating at the moment. As a matter of fact, week before last, I was out at University of West Georgia talking to the dean there, told her about it, and she's very enthusiastic and really wants to get a student team or one or at least involved. So
one of the things we wanted to do also was specifically to go beyond the Metro Atlanta area. And frankly, Thai Atlanta is very Metro Atlanta focused. So we'd get to Cobb County, Gwinnett, Fulton, et cetera. I'll tell you a great story. It's a poster child story. Our first nomination last year was from a place I've never been to, Tifton, Georgia. I'm not sure still where it is. I think it's somewhere in Georgia. And it came from the Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College.
Right.
And the dean of the business school was the faculty advisor for the team. So that's how we got to Southern University, through people like, you know, SBDC's network.
Now, so walk us through. So you communicate with the deans and try to get buy-in from the leadership of the university. That's your first mission. And then once you get buy-in from them, then they disseminate this opportunity to the kids?
That's right. We talk it up, as they say, and then we get buy-in from the kids and start with the communications about preparation, They come to some of our centers for some help if they need to.
Right, because this isn't something you just say, yeah, I'm in, right? They have to do some work.
They actually fill out a form. They self-nominate. They got to, in fact, you know, by the turn of the year, we'll have them fill out 7 questions in a questionnaire about what the business plan is going to be. Actually, you keep saying kids, but I want you to know our last year, our winner was, I think, in his 50s.
Oh, so.
And he looked like he was the dad of a student, but it turns out he goes to Kennesaw State University. His son goes to West Georgia State University. And they formed a team to come out with a medical device, et cetera.
And
so in that case, I want to say students as opposed to...
So was this an executive MBA or this was somebody going for his undergraduate?
I think what had happened is that, you know, on many campuses, entrepreneurship is now coming of vogue. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to the deans, there is a whole set of faculty members and clubs trying to create the ecosystem around entrepreneurship. And we've started to create a list of who those folks are so we can get to them directly because they in turn know who these student teams are. So we had a professor who actually used to be at UGA, has been in this kind of area for a long time, Dr. Charles Hofer, and he actually found a number of teams of which, in this particular case, a student that he convinced should actually, I think he was in car sales or something, he said, I think you ought to go back to college kind of deal. And so he did, and in fact, it turns out, I think he and his son will probably graduate at relatively similar times.
That's a great story. Right?
I also, just to follow up on something you started, Paul, I was in a meeting with the president of ABAC, the Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College from Tifton, about 3 weeks ago, and I mentioned the competition again to him, and he said he was so proud of their team, and they've only had their business school in existence for 2 years, so it worked out extremely well for them to participate, and we were very glad to have them.
One of the things we're going to try and do this year that we didn't get done the first year is also try and pollinate between the teams. Today, the universities are sort of, like I said, they either have competitions within Georgia Tech or Emory or UGA. One of the things we're going to try and do, perhaps using a social media platform early, is to connect these student teams across one another. They're not in competition other than the prize money.
Right.
They really can help each other with getting ideas back from in terms of, you know, capital raising, leadership capability, you know, how do you get a product development, et cetera.
And so also give them the opportunity where maybe to do a mashup where maybe somebody's got a germ of an idea in one university and they can partner with another one and together maybe come up with a better idea.
Whatever it takes to grow our economic value here in the state of Georgia.
Well, you can just imagine what happens when folks from different teams meet with each other. Who knows the next Apple or Google or whatever that they might create together because they made a real connection. Now, does this all culminate at some formal affair where people are recognized and they're presenting their ideas like a group of finalists or that kind of thing?
So what we are planning is in February, we've already booked the ATDC on a particular Saturday, and we will have what we call the qualifying round. So we expect that we may have, you know, roughly anywhere from 15 plus teams that will go through that. They'll probably go through some coaching, mentoring, and then actually getting through the qualifying round. And then from there, we want to really help all of the teams, including the ones who get through the qualifying round, get better with their business plan, because this year we want to actually follow them in opening businesses. We think a fraction of them did open businesses, but the more of them that treat this not as an educational exercise, but a real life exercise would be valuable to us. So then what will happen is between that qualifying round in February and the end of April when the TICON session occurs that you folks have been at before.
Right.
It's a big all-day affair. Lydia and I will be making sure that the final teams get judged, et cetera, we'll give out money at the end, et cetera, et cetera.
And that'll be where there's like finalists, where there'll be a handful of people who made it to this final round, and then that's where you're going to pick the winner?
Maybe 6 or 8 teams of the 15. We haven't quite decided.
You know,
exactly. Last year we just said, so long as you scored a 75 in the qualifying round, you got through.
You move to the next.
And we got 8 teams to do that. This time we may change those rules a little bit. You move to the final round. And we may do something in between, because nowadays with you know, with the power of the internet and the capability, we might even have some other sessions that Lydia and I have talked about. Maybe we force them to go through a consultancy session in between. Mm-hmm. There's a whole 2 months between February and April. And if, in fact, we want to get that engine going where they actually go start the business, that's a good time to get them, you know, in front of either, you know, get through any obstacles, look at capital raising, et cetera.
Now, as part of the finals, are there people that are funders where they can actually fund some of these if they think that they're worthy?
Lydia, why don't you talk about the judges, and then I'll talk about the funding part.
Yes, yeah? And the answer to your question is yes, yes, yes. That, you know, that's another benefit of this entire program. It's the outreach effort, and there's no doubt about that. It's to the students' benefits to take those business principles they've learned and actually apply them.
Right.
And learn and meet those sources and resources that can help them. On our judging panel, we choose panelists who can actually give them immediate feedback. And these people are experienced investors and sometimes VCs, and others are angels, and they give them very practical advice on the spot. So not only do they get the advantage of being there and hearing that, they get to meet so many potential funders. And it's all really good for them and to take their business to the next level.
And specifically, another charter member and I have raised $100,000 that we said we're going to look at one of these student teams, whether we want to actually invest in them or not.
Wow, that's great.
So we're just not telling them exactly we will or we won't kind of deal. But certainly, I mean, we get to invest in other things. I run a business of my own in the financial services industry and invest as a sideline. Why not in these student businesses?
Exactly.
Well, sure.
Right? And especially, you know, that they've been kind of through this gauntlet, so you know they're ready.
Correct. And I will tell you, I mean, in year one, the Georgia Tech idea to provide some capability that helps cardio surgeons. I mean, for students to be working on this kind of stuff, or certainly applications that are, you know, $10 per subscriber kind of deal that save lives. I mean, just fascinating work that's going on by these student teams.
Right. We had medical products being offered by the team from Kennesaw State. We had another medical procedure and some software developed by a team at the University of Georgia. It was just phenomenal to see them in action and their hopes and dreams and all the work they had done on these business ideas. It's phenomenal. It's a great
experience.
And the
school out at Tifton had a retail product that you could buy perhaps at a convenience store along I-75, make it very, very real, right? That's really the difference. I think Thai University is taking these students and giving them an opportunity, not just the kind of stuff they learn in a classroom, but let's go apply it and do it because that'll help them.
And that's great from the mindset of a university. A lot of times is the student thinks they're going to go and graduate and get a job. And here you are kind of inspiring them to create their own job and create their own opportunity where they don't have to be, you know, picked to get a
job.
You know,
probably when Lydia started, but certainly when I started and got out of college, et cetera, I actually became a university professor and then realized that really wasn't a calling for me at the time. I actually got back to it 28 years later. I started and worked for IBM. But I think in today's world, there is clearly the option of you can work in a corporation, you can work for yourself, and over time, you can actually mix and match.
Right. Right?
And you can be an entrepreneur in either environment. You can be a corporate entrepreneur as well. I have this question of both of you, but I'll start with Lydia, because I'm operating under the impression that you may or may not have had an opportunity, anything like what we've been describing here. When and where did you first discover your affinity for entrepreneurship and business? Where did that spark get started?
You know, that's a great question. And my early career was spent in all of and down the East Coast in marketing companies and smaller companies. I mean, yeah, I had the big corp experience, but what I really liked was taking and helping those small marketing companies. So I did that. Came to Atlanta and was again with a regional advertising firm. So in that role, what I did was actually help specific clients that might have a product. Like one of the clients that I had was Community Coffee out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
In the early days. So those types of tasks and jobs were kind of part of me. And then when I saw this job that was available at Georgia State University for a business consultant, I said, I don't know what it is, but I'll check it out. And I sold a company and then checked that out and got right into the small business development centers.
And then you got started at IBM, you mentioned?
I did, literally in the 70s. Of course, that's like a long time ago.
IBMs ago was that?
Actually, I spent 20-plus years in high tech and then by accident got into small business by actually joining a regional bank here in the mortgage area back in the 90s. And then back in 2007, talk about bad timing, decided we start our own mortgage company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we are now in year 8, but I'm happy to say that we've actually given away $2.7 billion worth of mortgages.
Wow.
In our 7 years, so we're very happy to celebrate
and survive that. Right?
And that's part of entrepreneurship. Wouldn't you agree, Paul? It's the ups and downs to it.
Oh, there were more downs in the first year and a half. But since then, you go through a lot of do's and don'ts kind of deal, and we're hopefully getting less of the don'ts and more of the do's. And being in the mortgage industry, it's also great to be able to help people succeed in their dream of home ownership, just like Lydia was talking about, the dreams of business.
Mm-hmm.
So now the first step for the students are to, where do they go to learn more about this?
Right. I think right now we are still uploading stuff and we're trying to decide on a new platform. Clearly they can look up the TYE, which actually is a nested acronym. So it's Thai Youth Entrepreneurs, and they can Google that. But rather than work that, I'd rather they call me directly right now. If they're interested, I will get the rest of the team. We're very fortunate, in addition to Lydia, to have a person, much like Stone said, who's a ex-corporate entrepreneur from Coca-Cola, actually.
Oh, great.
Has joined our team this year with a marketing plan. But let me give my cell phone out, I think, if that's okay.
Sure, whatever you'd like.
And I'm more than willing to take the call, and we'll help get people to the right place. They don't need to actually self-nominate till the fourth quarter of this year. But if they'll call me, Paul Lopez, at 404-643-7400. Again, my cell number is 404-643-7400.
And Lydia, the SBDC, is there a website?
Yes, there is a website. It's georgiasbdc.org. But I would also welcome any student team members who are interested in participating to contact me. And my email is ljones@georgiasbdc.org.
All right. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thanks for inviting us.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.